The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM and Off the Balls. Ger Gilroy, winners and sinners, we are picking. Actually, Alison, I was surprised. You have a sporting themed winner this week.
I know. And I know so much about golf. Did we chat about the
big
fact
Mike
that,
Weir fan?
Yeah. Who? When we were at the Ryder Cup, you were at the Ryder Cup when it was the K Club as well, right?
I was.
So we did a show from there when I was in my other life producing Ian, and I think you guys were beside us or something.
Oh,
I have
right.
a memory of something like that.
I only went down for a very brief time.
We were there for 2 days, solid.
And it lashed.
Oh, no, all I remember was a nice day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, my recollection is the whole thing was just a washout.
Yeah.
That was Pete Celtic Tiger, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the
was that 06? I think it was 06. It was a long time ago.
For some reason, I think it's 07 in my head. But
Maybe.
But we literally built a three-lane dual carriageway to get people to a golf tournament more quickly. And so farmers made a killing renting out fields for helicopters.
Yeah,
it was like
true.
Nothing
Yay.
Said Celtic Tiger more
so
than
I
that.
So I kind of was a golf expert for 48 hours and then it floated out of my head. So
do you remember at the time the main story was how the whole country was getting rich renting rooms to Yanks?
Yeah.
And it was outrageous. And it was kind of like this, if you weren't doing it, you were stupid.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, why are we gouging people? Is it, you know... Yeah. Well, they were rich Yanks, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Largely
yeah.
Republicans. Who cared?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, glory days. If we could all go back there, 2007, before it all went wrong, just pause, keep everything like that. It was great. But what is your winner?
So it is a future golfing hero, Poppy McIlroy. So she's 4 years old. You've all seen this. At one stage when I did turn Instagram off on when I came back when, you know, I was off for a few hours. It was every story was her, and it was so cute. So, 4-year-old daughter Rory at Augusta, ninth hole, I think. Jer, I'm looking to you.
Hole.
Just hit it, and it went into. This is my golfing lex.
Excellent, you know, keep going.
Went into the hole.
Yes.
It said drained 30 foot. Does that make sense?
No, yeah. Wow.
Well, there you go, yeah. And I think she got really shy about it.
Oh,
afterwards.
She was, the cheer really, she got a bit overwhelmed.
But
yeah.
It was so cute. She was wearing like a little white jumpsuit. And the fact that it was a family day out, Shane Lowry was there with his family as well. And I think Shane's reaction was the thing that got me more because, it's his, they're friends, but, on the pitch. And he was just so excited for her. And he was like jumping up and his arms were in the air. It was just like, we're being fed all this bad news constantly. It was just a nice break. To see that happen. And it was in all on Instagram. It was about 6 stories in a row, all the news outlets that I follow are covering it. It was just super cute.
It was super cute.
And it's inspiring as well. So, I mean, that's not necessarily her path in life, but it might be, which would be cool.
She's got good genes anyway.
Yeah,
she certainly has. I love the moment in it where she just rubs the ball. Like, it goes so it just shows you what the greens are like. But there's a moment, and it's only about a third of the way to the hole, where Lowry turns and says something to McIlroy.
Yeah.
And
you
know what he's saying. He's going, this is a chance.
Like,
look at where this is going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Straight away.
Yeah.
It was great, though. It was so cute.
Lowry's daughter had just sank a putt before that.
Yeah.
You see that in the previous? Yeah. Slightly shorter, it has to be said.
But the fact that he was just so excited for the other person's daughter, Rory's daughter, it was just so cute.
Not to rain everybody's parade, but if the three of them all make it to the very high end of the golf world, they'll all end up playing for America in Solheim Cup because they all live in Florida at the moment.
They all live in the Bear Club. That's where Rory lives there. Sorry, I was only talking to someone about this the other day. Rory lives there, so it's like a private gated community on a Jack Nicklaus design course. And didn't Shane Lowry, they were burgled when he was away at a tournament.
So they moved.
And I think they moved because his wife was kind of like, you're away a lot.
Yeah.
I'm here on my own a lot. And I want to move somewhere that's a bit more secure. So they moved into the same kind of neighbourhood that Rory's in.
Oh, sorry. They moved to Rory's neighbourhood.
They moved to Rory. No, they moved to Rory's neighbourhood. It was just a bit more. I think Shane was living somewhere else that was maybe less secure. Well, probably you're still surrounded by millionaires and billionaires, but just a slightly less secure.
Do either of you play?
Yeah, I just
play a little bit. Yeah.
So boring.
Wow.
I know.
Not sure if the microphone picked up
statement.
Your shade.
I've tried a few times. I mean, I suppose I get bored because I'm really bad at it and I don't want to do something I'm really bad at. So.
And did you go straight out to a golf club and course?
Yeah.
So that's miserable. When you're playing badly, there's nothing more miserable than playing golf. Now, a few lessons on the driving range?
Maybe. What is the connection as well? Like, you often associate like tennis and golf together.
Rich people.
Is that what it is? Because I love tennis. Like, I could be on a court for hours. I love that. Like, hockey, a dog chasing
rugby,
a ball.
Yeah.
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 But
yachting.
Golfing.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
White clothing.
Keeping other people out.
Yeah.
Weird sets of rules. Hierarchy. Sorry, did I say anything
about that?
When I used to hear those things, I close my eyes and picture Alison Curtis yachting in her plus fours.
My little whites.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you play much?
Not anymore. I did my elbow about 18 months ago and I haven't played much since.
Oh.
Played a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was a handy enough 10, 12 handicapper.
Were you now,
like
sure?
15. But then I haven't, you go to college and like,
yeah.
Again,
yeah.
You need a car and you need membership. And yeah. I should have kept playing, but I didn't.
Yeah. Never too late.
It is actually.
Well, that's the beauty of it. You can go back to it at any age and see the hang of it.
Though, kids right?
quite
just
like
walking nonstop.
The driving range.
Yeah.
Well, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, like, there's a lot of cheating going on. People are definitely, the lads are doing a feature at the minute about, could everybody just stop cheating, please?
Right.
In golf?
Yeah.
At club level, kind of.
Hooky handicaps.
Oh, there's depending. Lots of hooky handicaps. Yeah.
What does that mean now? Sorry.
So everybody who plays golf gets a handicap and you're supposed to score the par of the course plus your handicap and then you're playing to your handicap.
Okay.
If you beat your handicap, you play under par and you go a bit over your handicap, you go over par, but you get shots cut from your handicap the better you get.
Right, yeah.
So basically, myself and Ger, completely disparate skill levels,
yeah.
The handicap evens us out so we could, when we play each other, it's meant to work out that it's a kind of tit-for-tat head-to-head.
He gets a five in a hole, I get a four, it's actually a draw.
Yeah, okay.
Because I get a shot on that hole shaved off.
But right. People pretend to be worse than they are so that they can win competitions, so he would be actually easily getting a four. But
right.
And
do
people
they just
do
have
this.
To do this to entice people into the sport because it's so
no, funny. No. This is our lads in clubs. Sorry,
yeah.
I'm
right,
just
okay.
Ageism here, but it is, and they play in all these classics, and they do so in such a way that their handicap will never get reviewed downwards.
Right.
So they keep this high handicap,
okay.
And so it's so that they can win something like, you know, a voucher or you know a head cover for a driver.
Yeah.
It's just completely stupid stuff.
Oh wow, okay,
yeah.
A documentary in this. You were saying
there, the lads
well,
are doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, they're actually talking to. Golf Ireland have actually tried to fix it by just asking everybody, could you please stop cheating?
Anyway,
okay.
Poppy McIlroy is a very worthy winner of the week. Yeah, has to be said. Ger, who's your winner of the week?
Dublin City. I've had enough of everybody complaining about it. I was out twice this week and reports of the city's demise have been greatly exaggerated. Now, many things can be true at once, right?
Yes.
I understand there's a housing problem. It's terrible. And I do understand that many people have reasons to complain. But if we keep saying it's unsafe, it's terrible, this is such a horrible, dirty, filthy city. I don't know, walking around the last couple of days, I was in Capel Street on Tuesday night and I was in Thomas Street and Francis Street last night and it was brilliant.
You have a great social life.
That's what I think.
This is why I'm talking about this, really. It's my humble brag. It's actually got out for a change.
So many tourists in the last week. Incredible amount of tourists, I've thought. When walking around, because I would be in the weekends as well. Huge, but like it's bustling. And obviously, when the sun is out, it does feel.
Yeah.
The CSO have tried to claim that tourism, you know, tried to claim. CSO got a lot of attention in about 2 weeks where they brought out data. Well, they brought out data for kind of travel in January and February, and January's figures were like down 28% year on year.
Right.
And February's were down like 30% year on year. Huge. And CSO are standing over it. No, these are absolutely robust figures.
Very significant.
Everybody else in the industry is saying, no, it's not true.
Yeah.
Like Kenny Jacobs in Dublin Airport said their passenger numbers are down 1%.
Right.
OPW say their visitor numbers are down about 2 or 3%.
Yeah.
The vintners, who, no offence, the vintners will usually take an opportunity to tell you how bad business is, are saying, actually, no, business is normal for this time of year.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting.
It feels busy anyway.
It does. I think it feels great. Like, I mean, I think back, I came to college in 1995 and the city was monochrome and boring and the food culture was terrible. But you can literally have a meal from anywhere in the world and it's going to be with incredible produce, most of it Irish. And the music scene is vibrant. The art scene is vibrant. Our TV and movies are going really well. Like, and you don't want to sound all Pollyanna, everything is grand, because it's not. Like, and we should have mature conversations about things that need to be fixed.
Yeah.
But if all we're ever doing is murdering the city, and I think this is the same for all urban areas, like Kilkenny City is unbelievable, I think, but it clearly has some problems.
Yeah, no, there are. It's like the no-go thing. You know, there's this narrative, and look, you hear it in the media, you've heard it on the show, that Dublin's a no-go zone, wouldn't go in there. And like, I often think of it when I drive out of here at 7 o'clock in the evening and I turn onto kind of the junction of like Drury Street and South William Street and all those places that are in the headlines actually the last couple of days for on-street drinking. And it's what I think of is, look at the amount of people out on the street having a drink or queuing up for that Bambino pizza place. Yeah. No pizza could be that good.
And it is though.
It's not. It couldn't be. Oh, no offense to Bambino.
Overrated.
It could not be that good.
I think it's overrated.
I couldn't tell you because I have...
You never get anywhere near it.
Yeah, probably. But because I have sense. I have sense. I'm not queuing up.
It's not going to cost you a fortune, is it?
To queue up. It's going to cost me my time, Alison.
Well, I've had it brought to me, and it's delicious.
Whoa.
Oh! The minions. On her yacht. Yeah. On her yacht with her plus four swinging her golf club.
Into the club.
Tally ho.
Only I'm allowed in.
Yeah. Anyway. So anyway, you're singing the praises of Dublin.
Yeah, I think we just need to... be careful not to talk ourselves into fear and terror.
Oh, like Bertie now. Don't talk yourselves into a recession.
I would agree, though. I do think about this, and we've talked about this on the show before, with our daughters getting to a certain age and, you know, going into town. I still have reservations about, like, post certain time, but I think the city does have a lot to offer, and I think it, you know...
There was always parts of the city that are dodgier. Yeah. And there always will be. It's a big city. Even smaller places.
So, Capel Street and Thomas Street, not salubrious traditionally, but they're brilliant. Like, and it's humming with life and you can have a great time.
Capel Street's amazing now.
Yeah,
it's incredible. I used to live off of Capel Street back in the day and it wasn't what it is now, that's for sure.
All right. Alison, what's on the show this weekend?
Two things. We're going to have Brezzy on the show.
Oh, very good.
And also we're going to talk about...
Do you call him Brezzy when you're interviewing him or do you call him Niall?
Brezzy.
Do you know? Interesting.
I think I'd temporarily forgotten that wasn't actually his name. And then we're going to be talking about best things to do with your kids on midterm because it's Monday onwards, 2 weeks. Yee!
Oh, yeah. You're past that point, though, where you need to fill their time, are you? What? They'll kind of fill their own time to it. Oh, no.
We have 13, 10, and 9.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Busy. Okay. I'm thinking of your 13-year-old.
Well, she's 14 in 3 weeks. But she still needs to be looked after. So, yeah.
Yeah. The 10 and 9-year-old, you probably need to fill their days a bit, do you?
Yeah. There's also, like, you remember when you had your first year in school and you had your holidays, you had nothing to do. You like, you're literally, all of a sudden, you go from every single second of your day being planned out to like.
Yeah.
So that's, devil makes hand for. What was that?
Devil makes work for idle hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that it? Anyway, something like that.
Light work of the idleness.
Sometimes they just have to embrace a bit of idleness.
I know. Finding that mix.
It's the balance.
Know? Yeah, exactly.
I look forward to hearing you tell us all about this in 3 or 4 years' time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get up there.
You're so behind on your parenting journey.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Back in the naive. My kids love cutting the grass. That's the age I'm at.
Right.
Yeah, they love it.
They
hate when you see the grass being cut.
Why?
And they're not doing it. That's our term.
Are you talking about a motorized thing?
Yeah.
They're kind of little for that, no?
You put a brick on it so that the sensor thinks that they're heavier and it doesn't turn off. Alison has this look of utter horror. She's waiting me to say, I'm joking. Anyway.
I fixed it to make it more dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Just if they fall off, it'll keep going.
Yeah, no, but you stay beside them then in case that happens, you know? Or certainly don't stray
so
too far.
Just like cracking a beer.
No,
in the
I'm within. I'm within earshot.
Okay.
You know.
Oh
my
God.
Anyway, who's your sinner of the week, Alison?
It's all of a sudden you. House prices. So crazy house prices. You know that account?
Yeah.
I just saw this like a matter of days ago. British Bay Wicklow. It's a 3-bedroom, $312,000, but it's a mobile home
for $312,000.
Yes. Is that, I mean, it's a beautiful part of the country. It's a lovely spot to visit, but for a mobile home.
I think you have to, when you own those, you have to renew them after a certain period of time.
Right.
Certainly in most places where you park.
Like leasing the land, basically.
Essentially, but there's also an agreement and understanding that you can't let it fall into rack and ruin.
Yeah.
And that every 10 years you need to buy a new one.
Oh my God. So it's crazy. So the average mortgage loan, you've covered this, I'm sure, on the show, has exceeded $300,000 for the first time ever. And like house prices are 7% asking, getting higher than they did last year by 7%. So it's just, it is crazy. Like it is. But just when I saw that, I was like, so he's done a lot of comparative stuff. Like he did a 1-bedroom in North Strand in Dublin. And I think it was $274,000 versus Roscommon, like 3 acres, 4 bedrooms, all that kind of stuff. But that just struck me. Like, so I've been following his account for a really long time. But when I saw that amount for a mobile home, you're like, oh my God. And then obviously there's all the talk about granny flats and how they're going to be taxed and everything like that across the country. But that was just such a shocker. And it's probably going to sell, isn't it? Like, it's probably...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. We often think it's amazing how much money there is out there, really. Do you know, more and more houses, say somewhere like Kilkenny, which is relatively small, and this housing estate's been built, and the larger houses are 600,000-800,000 euro. And every time it happens, I think there's a limited pool of people in an area this small that are going to afford that. And yet more and more of them come up and they keep selling.
Lot of building in Kilkenny?
Yeah, there's a good bit happening, yeah.
Yeah.
But not so much that we're back anywhere near. We're talking about Celtic 2007, which, you know, we can give out all we want about 312 for a caravan, but I don't think house prices are coming down.
No
matter what happens to the economy. They might plateau, they might dip a couple of percent, but it's...
Well, they're saying this report, 1 in 7 are selling for 20% higher than asking now.
But I know if we get all the building up to the level it needs to be, that you're hitting your housing for all targets or exceeding them, prices are not going down. It's not how it's going to work.
There's a crash. Well, all the housing economists did not accurately predict that. Well, remember that we were going to have soft landing the last time. I don't think that's going to happen again, I think, to your point. But
even if there is a crash, we don't have the excess of housing that we had the last time is the issue. Do you know, and we don't have the same...
Well, those people would leave if we had a crash. Lots of people who are here at the moment for work probably would leave.
Yeah.
So, look, you're always just very cautious of saying, it's never going to do something.
Yeah.
After Celtic Tiger, pop.
Yeah, true. I don't think it's coming down. I think people need to get used to these crazy house prices.
It's a worthy sinner if it's never going anywhere.
But I think it'll be but that's what I'm suggesting is worse, way worse. Because what I'm suggesting is even if we have a recession and people lose their jobs and their salaries stagnate,
the prices
are going to stay the same. It's actually it's a worse outcome.
It is sunny and it's Friday. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Your kids are going to live with you forever.
Oh, I don't mind that, actually. I don't mind that idea.
Yeah, I know you don't. Yeah, but she can live in the yacht. Don't worry about it.
Fine.
Yeah, exactly. Who's your sinner of the week?
Well, so you guys were talking about this earlier on, the survey making, parents, you're not teaching your children to be good people.
Mm.
Oh.
These surveys making parents feel guilty about being bad parents. They're the sinners. They're the real sinners in all this.
You should be able to be a bad parent
and
not feel any sense of shame about it.
Not be judged,
yeah.
Although then I did start judging the responses to the survey. It was like the weird hierarchy of things that you want your kids to be. I think we should point out this is a UK survey, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, stiff upper lip still seems to... Tidying your room is way more important. It's like 17 percentage points more important than having empathy.
No.
Tidying your room is more important than having financial planning.
No.
I'm like, come on. Who's answering these surveys?
Yeah. The survey, so Henry McKean, we had a thing on it earlier in the show about it. It's when they go off to college specifically.
What life skills should you teach them?
Yeah, and I just think there's a real interesting difference despite, you know, the proximity between our islands. There's a real, we all come home weekends in college. Like, when they go off to college in the UK, they're gone until...
I know, I remember first
it's funny, it's just such a different thing.
I lived with a group of girls and everyone disappeared on a Friday and came back on a Sunday night.
Yeah, the UK experience is much closer to the Canadian or North American experience where you go off for a full semester.
Yeah.
We don't need to be able to clean our clothes because I can bring them home to my mother on a Thursday.
That's what I'm surprised at. All the lads, I was like, what's this big, getting on the train with these
or my father.
Santa knapsack. It's all their laundry from the week. I'm like, what are you doing? Do it yourself. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. What skills would you like them to have?
The cooking is the one that actually did ring true.
Yeah, more than empathy.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll be grand.
But do they have an interest in the kitchen? Like, I can't get mom to do it.
Oh, no, totally. Because obviously a lot of sport gets watched in my house. But and I'm not watching sport, I'm watching cooking.
Yeah.
And I've got them into that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
Really
they wouldn't
good.
Cook a meal for the family yet. 10 and 9 year old are a bit young, maybe.
I know, there's like...
They tip away a few bits and pieces, yeah.
Yeah, the 9 year old can do like carbonara.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's actually really easy. That's the thing. Everybody's
how do I make a carbonara?
You fry off a bit of whatever it is that you want your meat to be. Yeah. And then you...
So rashers or bacon or something.
Yeah, yeah? You can guanciale if you want to be nice. Oh, you wow. mix a bit of eggs and two types of cheese. If you're being fancy, it's pecorino and parmesan.
Yep.
You mix that up, you put it in the thing.
With the meat.
Yeah, you put your pasta in straight away with a bit of pasta water and you're done.
No milk or cream or anything.
No cream.
It's the double cheese that gives it the creamy. Yeah.
No.
Oh, sorry, it's the double cheese that makes it creamy.
A tiny bit of the pasta water.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by that, though. I can't get her interested in it at all. So it is a. So when we were younger, like we didn't have any life skills, my sister and I, because my mother was of that generation where she was like, well, that's my job because I didn't work outside the house. So and she passed away when I was 19. I was like, I didn't know how to do anything. So you do. That does frighten me sometimes. Not that that's an extreme, but that you do want them to have certain skills. And then the generation below me in my family can do anything.
Right.
Like they're both brilliant cooks. Like one of them knits a house practically. Like they're just so
knits
skilled.
A house.
He built like this huge house table. Of... Like they're so skilled and they're just 30, both of them. And it's amazing how it's changed in that space of time.
Mm. All right. Okay. So sinners of the week are crazy house prices.
Yes.
And British Bay Caravans, specifically, and life skills surveys. Jordan Allison will go stay with me. We'll be back after the break with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a
Yes, Alison and Jura are with me for the last bit of the show. Alison, you still have an active X account, I understand.
Do you? You do.
I do.
Yeah.
I don't really use it. For
you do.
I don't post
much.
No.
Well, okay.
So it's weird. I've got this kind of...
Definitely don't use it for engagement.
No, definitely. It's for getting news or whatever. But I haven't really looked at it in a long while. Like I just maybe max like 3 minutes and then I go, I got to get off this. And then obviously since... 2022, was it 35, 36 million people have left it because of Elon Musk and all that. But I'm like, I feel this weird loyalty because it was my first social media platform. And it's not like there's even that many, like, you know, there's a few or whatever following me. But I was like, it just feels so final. Now you can reactivate the account too, but to go delete. But I feel like I think I should do that. And then when I said that, loads of people were like, join Blue Sky. So I don't know, like, because I have this thing where
what about Threads?
No, Threads. I will
Come
forever
on.
Hate you for that.
Yeah. But, try to get on Threads.
And I was there for
I wasn't on it.
And then how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
But I have this thing in my head where I'm like, I can have two social media platforms. That's it. Like, it's a weird
right.
thing. I can't have more.
No, that's fair enough.
Because then I'll lose my life to it already.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this phone addiction before.
Yeah.
But Threads is like, it's constantly there on my Instagram. Like, screw you.
I know, and as soon as I click on it, I think it's an Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's an interesting... And it's always, it's real clickbaity. It's like a half a sentence. And I'm like, oh, what's Alison saying here? And then I click on it, and it tries to get me to download the Threads app.
You can get off of it. Like, do get off of it if you're an Instagram user.
Definitely sound like a drugs there.
You can't get off this. You're not hooked for life. So Blue Sky started in 2019, and it's like 15 million followers now. So I don't know if that's enough to join it yet. But I'm curious about... So the tone is supposed to be that it's a safe space for everyone, 15 million people. It's going to go sour as well, I'm sure. But I am tempted by it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Someone, I can't remember who was describing this. The idea of like it, of the next iteration of Twitter.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be better. It's going to be like it was, you know, it was Mastodon. It was Blue Sky. People are failing to understand the premise. They imagine it, or it's often sold as, you know, it's you go into the pub and here's some like-minded people you'd have a conversation
yeah.
with. Said, no, think of it. It's like where you go into a pub and there's 100 people and everyone is just having their own conversation but all out loud at the same volume into the air. He says, that's actually the model. So why it seems okay at first is that there's
that's
only
terrible.
Three or four people in the pub and you can follow what they're saying and interact.
But then here's the scary
thing
too.
And then the pub
too.
Gets busy and it's like, oh my God.
If you follow just like-minded people like I did many moons ago, I was like, went to bed thinking Hillary is going to win. <'Cause those
laughs> You're still not over that.
Yeah, no. I was like, that's what X or Twitter said.
So many
said
people
then.
Are still bitter by that when they went to bed after declaring.
Yeah, is it good being around with just like-minded people? I don't know if it is.
You're still on Twitter, are you?
I am, yeah.
Do you use it?
I would use it to still get sports news.
Yeah.
All of the American sports journalists and many of the English football journalists still post there first before they post anywhere else. So if you want to get breaking news, it's still good for that.
And scores of GAA matches.
Oh, if you want to see videos and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but even scores, like if you're, you know, like if there's a match on the county boards or whoever's in charge
that's
of their
true.
Thing,
it's probably always really good. If you want really club good. Matches though, right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, but also inter-county game, like anything, there's be match, yeah, whatever match you're looking for,
Yeah, I mean, it's a real pity what happened because it was excellent.
But it was, yeah.
It is gone. It is horrific.
Mm. I think I was just going to do delete. I think I'll do it.
Delete it and enjoy the magnificent sporting weekend ahead. Maybe.
Well, so the weekend is absolutely ridiculous. I just did want to mention Swim Ireland have Daniel Whiffen, gold medalist. They have Mona McSharry. They have all of the Olympians and Paralympians swimming out in Blanchardstown, the Irish Open, it's called.
Wow.
And there's 5 nights of it, and it's free in the morning and it's a fiver in the evening. So you
it's
go
great
and watch
value.
Daniel Whiffen
Amazing.
Potentially break a world record. He's been talking about trying to break a world record. And yeah, like the Olympians, we keep talking about it. They deserve to be much more prominent in our lives. So many of them are actually genuinely good role models, and I always hate trying to thrust role model on kids because they are still kids and they're still finding their way in the world. But they've worked really hard on their own in many cases against a system that doesn't really prioritize making them rich or famous, and they've done it for their own betterment, and you know, that's good.
No, it's inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And Rory's going to do it.
He is.
He got the choke out of the way. Come on.
Well, is this back to golf?
This is like Hillary. Like, I went to bed last night and woke up and was like, another double bogey?
I'll never give up on him. You can do it, Rory. Alison and Ger, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.